If you open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, John chapter 9, we're going to pick up a passage there, and I don't know how many of you awakened this morning. If you're like most people or a lot of people, I'm sure they go, how late is it? How many times did you check your watch this morning, John? How many times do we look at things going, oh no, what am I going to do? I might be late. And then there are those that said, oh, I forgot we changed the time again, didn't we? And we're definitely late. And we got here, but you got here. And that's the good thing. That always is an important thing. But that is a question. How late is it? You ever stop to think about that? You know, I'm not talking about you got a dinner date. You're supposed to meet your friends. You're supposed to go to the Y. You're supposed to go wherever, to the golf course. Don't want to be late to the tea time, that's for sure. But there are times in life we ask that question, just, well, how late is it? You know, last night I changed clocks. I do that before it ever happens. You know, like that, and Margaret walks in, looks at the clock. She goes, is it that late? And I'm going, it will be in the morning. You'll be thinking about this thing in the morning, that you'll be thankful that I went ahead and changed it so that you won't think, oh, I've got another hour. No, you don't. We don't have another hour. Now, it doesn't bother me because I'm a very early person, but I like my solitude early in the morning too, so it's a good part about me. But in John's Gospel, in the 9th chapter, verse number 4, the statement is made here, Jesus making this statement, and it comes on the heels of something that he did in the healing of a blind man. But he said, I've got to take every opportunity that the Father has given me. And he says in verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. He didn't mean that it was while it was daytime. He meant simply that this is the time period that the Father has given me. I don't know about you, but there are moments in life that you get a phone call in the middle of the night. Those are not usually good phone calls. I mean, I don't know. Well, I don't know. Marshall calls me every once in a while. It's 4 o'clock or 7 o'clock his time. It's 11 o'clock my time. And that's the middle of the night for me. I mean, probably 10:15. That might be the middle of the night that I have. But it's one of those kind of things. You just don't really care for something of that nature. So write that down in your book, people. Don't call me late. Unless it's an emergency. And if it's an emergency, great. I'll be more than happy to talk to you, and that'll be all good and fine and all that kind of stuff. And if you're scared, call the police. To come get you for calling me. Because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call them and tell them some crazy man's calling me. But we need people, and you need pastors. And sometimes it's the middle of the night. That's fine. That's something, when there's a great need and we have to meet those needs. We call police, we go to the hospital, we do all kinds of things, and sometimes it is absolutely in the middle of the night. But usually, if I waited too long, I had to hear, especially when it came down to my dad, when he said, I want you to do this, you know, I kind of go, da, 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 da. He says, now. I knew that I might want to live up to what he said right now, because it would not be good on me at all. Jesus said, you're going to live your entire life, but you need to live it in the now. Right now. This is what's facing us right now. Why? Because time is limited. Look around. You know, we were young, but now we're not. We may be young up here still, but our bodies are saying things that are different than that. And sometimes bodies speak louder than what my head speaks, because time's limited. It's so many seconds, so many minutes you have. Our days are absolutely numbered. And Jesus knew that. He said, I have a short time to fulfill what the Father wants me to do. In the 16th chapter of John, he makes the statement, I must leave so that the Holy Spirit can come. And that was something that It didn't set well with the disciples. Yet, did they want the Holy Spirit? Of course they did. They wanted to know more about what God the Father had to say about this. But what he's saying here is that I have a short time. They did not realize it. Nobody realized it, but he realized it. I don't know if we think of it that way. You only have a short time to accomplish something that God has placed in your heart. And you need to take advantage of every opportunity. And here in the 9th chapter, he performs a Sabbath day miracle. Now, he knows he's going to tick off people. He always ticks off the religious people. Isn't that something? You're doing a miracle, glorifying God, but you're ticking off religious people. Well, I think that's something that happens all the time. It still happens in the church. You know, sometimes I'm not going to say you do. I incur the wrath of the Pharisees at times because we've never done it this way. But that was the opportunity. And Jesus saw that. This is the opportunity. I may not have this opportunity ever again. It may not come my way. And that's why he says, I must do the works that God has given me to do. I need to take advantage of it right here. There was a sense of urgency about the very thing that he was going to do to heal this blind man. He didn't care. Okay, it's the Sabbath. All right, you were not supposed to do this or this on the Sabbath, but this is the opportunity I have, and God has placed it before me. What did Paul write in 2 Corinthians? He said, behold, today is the day of salvation. This is the day that God has given to you. Everywhere you read in the Bible, it says today. It doesn't talk about tomorrow. If it does, it talks about tomorrow in a negative sense. But he says it is today. Every page of the Word of God talks about today. Every tick of the clock said today. Every beat of your heart says today. This is the moment. Every obituary that you read somewhere, it says today. Because it is an emphatic thing. But the warning is comes to us, he says in Hebrews chapter 8, don't harden your hearts. Just listen to what the Word says. Be tender. Listen to what God is saying to us. Why? Well, like I said, life is short, death is sure, and time is passing. And it goes by very, very quickly. Now, young ones, sometimes you think, well, oh, no, it's okay. Well, all of us were young once. You know, we just didn't come out like this. All of a sudden, Shazam, look how old that guy is. You know, that's the way it is. No. It is that way because God has given every one of us a certain set of time until he rewards us with his presence. And we need to take advantage of every opportunity. How many of you remember the things that God has said when he talked about how you're going to do things in life? When are you going to get it done? I don't know. We got any procrastinators here? Man, I should have seen hands all over the world on that one. There's an urgency in God's book. We rest in Jesus, but he says, I've called you to do this. These are the days of opportunity God has given us in this church. And this is the day that we need to move upon it. We need to move on it because we may never, ever get that opportunity. So what opportunities am I talking about? I got three things for you this morning that I think are the urgencies of life, and their opportunities, their privileges, but we need to move on them now, okay? They're simple things, just three simple things. I call them opportunities. One is changing our lives. That's an opportunity that we need to move on. The changes we need to make in our own lives. You need, the opportunity has been given to us to express our love. That can be hard. You say, well, no, I love people. Do you ever tell them? Do you say it? Can you verbalize that? You say, well, that's not in my generation. What does your generation have to do with it? Can you express love? How about the opportunity to follow Christ? That's a great opportunity. So I'm going to try to knock these out for you this morning because I think they're important. How about changing our lives? You know, what was the guy's name? He wrote the book, The Robe. They made it in the movie. It's not Powell. It's should have wrote those kind of things down because it goes right over my little head. But he writes a story about a modern day version of the Zacchaeus. You know, the song, you know, you've heard me before. Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man was... He was a piece of junk. He was a rotten criminal. He was a thief. He was every bit of those kind of things. We can glamorize it, make it all good and wonderful, but he wasn't that. So this man had written this in the book that's called The Robe. He tells about the very story of Jesus walking along, coming along, and Zacchaeus is up in the tree. Remember that part? You tell me you do remember that part. Okay, yes, you shake your head this way. It works out good. All right, Zacchaeus is in the tree. He sees him. He said, I'm coming to your house. Well, that'd be a shock. Jesus has invited himself to come to your house, to a tax collector's house. Everybody stood back and went backwards on that one. They were appalled that Jesus was going to go to his house. But he gets to the house, they have dinner, they're reclining as they do in that day, and about halfway through dinner, Zacchaeus, according to the story that's being told, this one, he gets up, he walks out on his palatial balcony, he's overlooking, there's a crowd that's out there. What are they waiting on? They're waiting to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus announced to everybody at that point, he says, I am going to return 4 times the amount of money I took from you. Not just taxes, but what he stole beyond the taxes. I'm going to return. The law, the Jewish law says 2 times. But he says, I'm going to give it back to you, and I'm going to do it 4 times the amount. That's what I'm going to do. And then no, I'm not even going to stop there. I'm going to give half of everything that I have, I'm going to give it to the poor. He turns around and he walks back inside. Jesus meets him. He says, Zacchaeus, what's gotten into you? And Zacchaeus' reply, according to this author, says, when I looked into your eyes, I saw a reflection, and I saw the Zacchaeus that I ought to be. You ever look into Christ's eyes? You ever look into his word? You ever stand before the mirror, maybe in just the solitude of you and you alone, and have asked yourself that question, am I who I'm supposed to be? Am I pleasing? Am I someone that I have nothing that God would be ashamed of? Well, I know there's been plenty of times in my own personal life that I have said and done something that I was ashamed of. Shouldn't have done it. Should have never said it. Shouldn't have gone anywhere about that kind of thing. But there's a big difference between saying it and having a bad time once in your life if you've repented of it and you've got God's forgiveness. Because if it's forgiven, it's done. It's finished. Now, there are some results that take place after that, but if you repented of it. But the problem is, a lot of people, yeah, I shouldn't have done that, and that's it. They don't ever say, I'm sorry. They never ask God about it. Are you happy with your life? If you're not happy, maybe it's a time for a change. Maybe there's a place right now. I got good news for you. You can do it. Oh, no, not join the Do Better Club. I'm talking about we have a God that forgives. We have a God that can change our life. Because if God can't do that, he's not worth worshiping. But I know he's well worth worshiping because I know that God can do it. Our character can be amended. We can be changed. We can be improved. You know, how many, y'all watch Ebenezer Scrooge at Christmas time? Yeah, you got to watch that. I mean, everybody, we watch that too many times. Okay. But, you know, it doesn't happen just any time. That said at Christmas and he's going to miss Christmas. The Spirit of God speaks to every one of us. But when he's speaking, he's saying, this is time that you need to change. It doesn't just happen when you get ready to. It doesn't just happen because, oh, well, I think I'll do this. No, it doesn't work that way. What should I be? Should be the question on our hearts. If we let that pass, I can promise you this, it gets harder. The older you get, the more set in your ways you become. You say, oh, I don't know if I believe that. Well, I believe it because I know it's true. We poured concrete a lot in our lives. I'm sure Richard and I know, and others have done the very same thing. Have you ever poured concrete by yourself? Yes. That's no fun. It's no fun at all, especially in the summertime in Texas. That's just no fun. When you first put it down, it's nice and soft. You know, you can squish it down, move it around, do that kind of stuff. But it doesn't take very long, and it gets hard. Well, that's the way our lives are. When God, when we first came into this world, or when we were changed or saved, we were soft, we were pliable. We were the kind of people that God could work with. But when the heat of the day comes on, we become more rigid. In fact, we become somewhat like concrete. Sometimes we become stiff-necked. Sometimes we become defiant. Sometimes we become unrepentant. And God said, I got to break up that concrete. You remember talking about in John chapter 5 about there was a pool that Jesus said to the people, he talked about the angel would come and he would stir the water. And if anybody, whoever was close, they all hung out at that pool. Whoever was the first one to get into the water would be totally healed of all their infirmities. But some people couldn't move. Some people could never, but they had to take advantage. When the angel of opportunity came along, they had, if they missed the opportunity, it was gone. They would probably never get that opportunity again. But only the first one that got into the pool, that's what was going to happen to them. You see, time's precious. It's very precious. There are critical moments that God allows to come into our lives. To do what? To change our souls. To make a difference in our lives. This is the hour of opportunity that we have. It's an opportunity for change to be broken, of bad habits. It's an opportunity that God has given us. It's just not something typical. It's not just something, oh, well, I can get around to that when I get ready to. I can mow the lawn someday, maybe. Get you some goats. I mean, I don't know what you got to do about it. But I know this. It's not about the outward signs that people can see. It's about the inward part that God and God alone sees. He says, this is the time that I'm stirring your soul. This is your opportunity to change. That's the way God says it. And that's the way God does. That's what the Spirit is for. It's not only a time in our lives, the opportunity to change. There's an opportunity that God gives us to express love. Now, I know that some people are just not given to that. I know there are a lot of men that they find that very, very difficult. I've been that person too. But I know this, that the story that was told in John in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John. You remember when Jesus goes to the house of Lazarus? He's over there. This is after that he's raised Lazarus from the dead. And he's there in their home with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Mary comes in and anoints him. Do you remember that? She opens up that spikenard of precious ointment and begins to anoint him, covering in that beautiful smells everywhere. And what is said then? I mean, I could almost see the joy in Jesus' life and his face. And then here's Judas. Judas is that guy, that religious person that gets all bent out of shape. He gets all bent out of shape. He gets mad about it, that how can you do this, a complaint. You know, Judas is pathetic. He's a pathetic person. And we still have that kind of people going around. You know, as one person said, they knew the price of everything, but the value of nothing. What was done? What did Jesus say? She's anointing me for my death. You may not know this, but there's going to come a burial, and she's anointed. Well, you should have given that money to the poor. We could have sold it, blah, blah, blah. That's what Judas was saying. He said, well, what? The poor you have with you always. Me, you don't have always. Do you realize that there are times in our personal lives to express the love that we have to each other? We should every day express the love that we have for Christ to him. You shouldn't have to wait till there's a death. It's too late then. I mean, you have a death of what? Of a friend or a loved one? And I'm facing that right now in a family in our own church. They're facing that very issue right now. there are times, a suggestion, just a suggestion. You guys still print pictures? Y'all still do that kind of stuff? I mean, I think Margaret's got 8 zillion pictures on her phone. I don't know what's going to happen if the phone bellies up, but, you know. But if you print a picture, have you ever thought about just writing a little caption? I always like to know the date. I want to know who it is, you know, because I might forget. Or it might have been 3 generations ago, and I don't know who that person is for anybody. Kind of looks like my family, but I don't know who that family is. If you write on that picture and says, me, you do not have always. That would be a good reminder to every one of us. We don't always have those people that are in those pictures. They might be gone now. They might have gone on to glory every day. A husband, a wife, even worse, a child. You see, God gives us an opportunity, and he shouldn't have to twist our arms to do it. He shouldn't have to have me yelled at to make it happen. We should take the time to say, I love you. My grandfather was really correct about it. I was blessed to get an adopted grandpa. And that adopted grandpa says, honey boy, give me my roses before I die. And it's true. What good is flowers and all the stuff when they're gone? Oh, it's beautiful, everything's nice, you do all that. They're dead. They're not going to get to smell those roses. They're not going to smell the beautiful fragrance of the flowers or anything like that. There's the opportunity to say, I love you. We find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that? Remember when he took Peter, James, and John? He said they went to the garden, and he said, I want you to pray with me. I want you to be right here with me. Watch and pray. And you remember what happened. He goes off to pray. They fall asleep. He comes back out, and he wakes them back up. And he said, could you not just watch and pray with me for an hour? Well, they were tired. It had been a busy time in their lives. He goes back. He comes back. They're still asleep. And he chides them again. The third time he comes back, he just says, sleep on. I think he's saying that to the church a lot today. Could you not watch? Could you not pray? But now it's too late. Just sleep on. There's a time to watch and to pray with Jesus. They missed it. Now, I have to say that Peter, James, and John, they did great things for Christ later. But the one thing they could never do, they could never watch and pray with him again. He was gone. That could never happen again. There are those in our lives, and there are things that we do that we have only one opportunity to do them. And one is expressing our love, telling people that very thing right there. They were never, ever going to watch and pray with him again. Oh, I know, James was he would die as a martyr. Herod would kill him with the sword. We know what took place with John. You know, we always talk about the Isle of Patmos, and he was actually. Do you realize that they tried to kill him by pouring boiling oil on him? It didn't kill him. Could have. Killed anybody. But God said, nope, not ready for you to die. And he'd be exiled. And what happened to Peter? He'd be crucified upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to be like my Lord. All of these things take place. We say their heart breaks. I grew up in a home that didn't express that kind of love. They didn't say, I love you. You know, I know that was somewhat true in my own life, but I've heard it plenty from other people. It may not have been said, you know. You ever tell your kids how proud you are of them? The accomplishments that they have done. There's a commercial on TV now that they talk about the boy says, hey, I made an A on my report card or my report that I gave. The little girl says something, and then the dog starts talking. I went through the woods and didn't get a tick or a flea on me. Oh, you're the most wonderful dog. And I'm thinking, we make the dumbest commercials today. But it wasn't dumb to say, I am very proud of what you have accomplished. I'm proud of the things you've done and the things where you're going. It's not a strong man who talks about, and that this could have been the case somewhat in my dad's life early, out making money, doing this, providing, and he did great in that regard, worked hard, endlessly hard. But to say, I'm proud of you and I love you, that wasn't always the easiest thing in the world. It really wasn't. You know, one of the hard things about that, I've heard this many times, after that one passes, you know your dad really was proud of you. I want to say, then why didn't he say it? Why didn't he tell me that? That would have made all the difference in the world to me. You see, some people call that a strong man, as an unbending. I call it a weak man. You haven't got enough strength to say it. That's what I say. And you can disagree with me, which is fine. But you see, there's no time in our lives that God said, as it is right now, simply to tell them what a good job they're doing or to encourage them. You want to see a change in your kids, grandkids? Tell them. Compliment them. Do these kind of things. You know why? Because somebody's going to. And that person that says that to them, they're going to have more influence than you have. So if you want to have influence over your children, over your grandkids, over your friends, tell them. So, that's the second opportunity. The ability, the opportunity God gives to say, I love you. And we need to say that. The last one is a simple one. In fact, I think it's one of the probably the most important of all. The opportunity to follow Christ. I think that's a great one right there. Matthew's Gospel, the fourth chapter. Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. What does he see? Well, he sees there's Peter, there's Andrew, there's James, and there's John. He calls them. What did they do? They left their nets and they followed him. How about going to the seat of customs? And there's Matthew in the seat of customs. And Jesus said, follow me. What did he do? Shut up his shop and boom, off he went. I could see him having a conversation one day with Zacchaeus. Hey, I was a tax collector too. But then Jesus spoke to me and I followed him. I think Matthew might have had a lot to do with the very fact that Zacchaeus got up there and said, hey, I'm willing to give back four times the amount. Because he saw in the eyes of another tax collector how great Christ was and how much difference he could make by simply following. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come follow me. Jeff and Beth took the boys and went to you guys went to the circus? Did they have a guy there like it was when I was a kid? Hurry, 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 step right up. Did they have a guy like that? Come yelling at you like that? You know, they always, what did they call a barker? That's exactly what they were, barkers. They barked and to get you to come look at something stupid. Some trivial nonsense. See the bearded lady. Yeah, well, was, you know, Grant Taft was the coach, one of the coaches was there, the most prominent coach was when I was at Baylor. Grant Taft said he was looking at one of his defensive linemen, big old kid. I mean, big kid. He's about as big as we ever got at Baylor for defensive linemen. And he had this little mustache. And Grant Taft said, son, I've seen a better mustache on women. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Well, Coach Taft could say those kind of things. How much of our time is our attention taken away by hurry, 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 come see something that's ridiculous? And God is calling, and he's saying, hurry, 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 come unto me. Let me show you who I am. He's not calling you to trivial things. He's not saying to me, but how many times do we get worked up over nothings? And the important things we let slide. This has got to get it done. And in reality, we don't have to get it done. What we need to do is the opportunity to follow him and to lead others to follow him also. You see, that is why he said, come unto me. And why we should not get worked up over all those other things. There are urgent calls out there. We got medical centers like that. Well, there's two reasons. Life's uncertain. You can say that. You can say that to Wanda today, Wanda Ray, her son, 54 years old, but gone. Dropped dead of a heart attack the other day. But Christ is saying to us, the uncertainty of life is one thing. There is no uncertainty in me. And this is the opportunity. There's an opportunity there and an urgent call for the disposition of our souls. What is God saying to my souls? You know, there's sometimes I'm tender. I know you can't believe that, but there are times. And then there are other times that you get self-willed. Aren't you glad God's a God of second chances? And he is a God of second, third, fourth. We keep doing dumb things and he keeps doing it. I learned it real well in prison ministries that God said, I can change a life. And I can. They call that the point of redemption. That's what they call that, the redemption point. When someone has come to the end of their ways and said, I don't want to follow this life anymore. I want to make a change. And they're hungry for that change. You need to be there for that time. You need to be there when they're floundering and you're throwing a lifeline out to them. Because if you don't, they'll drown. They'll drown in a lifestyle that will never, ever change. You need to throw them a life preserver. The church is the same way. All around us, there are people that are out there in that sea, and they need a life. They need a life preserver. Who's going to throw it to them? Who's going to say to those people that are out there that you're worth it? Come follow me. Follow me because I've got something to give to you. You remember the name Felix? Paul speaking to in Acts chapter 26. And what does Felix say? Come back later. We're not having a more convenient time for you. Why? Because he didn't want to hear what was being said at that time. Because he was so point blank in what he said. God was speaking through him. Maybe tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. Maybe I'll get with it tomorrow. Well, you probably don't have tomorrow. You don't know. None of us know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't know where we're going to be. I know this. This is tomorrow, today. This is our opportunity to make a difference in the lives of people. This is our opportunity to make a difference in our own personal lives. Come unto me and find out what is God saying. You don't need, this is the most convenient season you'll ever have. It's the season that God has given us. Because there's no assurance there will ever be another one. You say, well, you're just trying to scare us. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you that opportunities are fleeting. And the older you get, the least the opportunities there. They don't always last. He says, I won't always chide with men. Oh, I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to do all these things. But ultimately, the doors close. Because this is what God says will happen. Where does the road of tomorrow lead you? Nowhere. That's where it leads. It leads nowhere. God is giving us opportunities. He's given us an opportunity to change our lives. He's given us the opportunity to say, I love you. He's given us the opportunity to come to him and to bring others to him. I don't know how many more opportunities we need. I know that we've all sat there before and go, man, if I had just done this then, just think what I'd have today. We missed that opportunity. We just did. The opportunity that I'm talking about today, don't miss it. Don't miss it. You don't have to miss it. Because God said, I can do this. But if we neglect the opportunities, I can tell you this, the opportunity is lost. Today, my friends, is the day of salvation. Jesus said, I must do the work of him that sent me. For the night cometh when no man can work. Can you take advantage of the opportunity that God is giving you today for his glory, for who he is? So the question goes right back to it. We've had time to say, how late is it? Well, I can tell you this, it's late. It's late. The night cometh when no man shall work. Let's pray.